I'll go ahead and read our scripture, which is found in the book of Acts, chapter 10, verses 34 through 43. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. There are certain cliches that we all hear throughout life that, upon closer inspection, don't always prove to be true. But they are so ingrained in our consciousness that you can probably say them along with me. For example, it takes money to make money. But tell that to Mark Zuckerman or Bill Gates, you know, two of the richest men this country has ever produced. And neither one was wealthy when he began his career, but both men discovered it doesn't always take money to make money. You can make money sometimes just through hard work and through innovation. Or another cliche, you can't fight City Hall. Well, often that seems to be the case, but remember Sonny Bono? After his show business career, he opened a restaurant in Palm Springs, and he got all mired in the red tape of local politics. And so he fought City Hall, and he won. He also ran for mayor and won, and later became a U.S. congressman before his tragic death. Maybe that story fits another cliche better. If you can't beat him, join him. But another cliche that we hear from time to time is, it's not who you are, it's who you know. Well, unlike the others' cliches, we all know of cases where this cliche is painfully true. I'm sure many of you have had the experience of being excluded from something. Maybe a club you wanted to join, or a neighborhood you wanted to live in, or a company you wanted to work for, or a job advancement that you were up for and you thought you deserved, but you never got a chance because you just weren't in with the right people. Somebody else got ahead of you because he or she knew somebody at the top. And at the time, it may have seemed absolutely unfair, but today we're going to examine how this truism actually is something that works in your favor. Here in the 10th chapter of Acts, the Apostle Peter had a vision that changed his entire outlook on life. Like most Jews of his day, Peter had always believed that God showed special favoritism to the Jewish people. And in the vision that we read about starting in verse 11, it says that he saw heaven open and a large sheet being let down to earth, filled with all kinds of animals, reptiles, and birds. And a voice told him, "Arise, Peter, get up, kill and eat." And Peter was taken aback by that. He said, "Surely not. I've never eaten anything impure or unclean." And Peter had always adhered to the very strict Jewish dietary laws, which forbade eating things like pork or shrimp or catfish and so on. And the voice then said, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." Well, Peter had the same vision for three consecutive times, and it was obvious that God was about to teach him something new. And about that time, Peter was invited to speak to the household of a man named Cornelius, who is described to us as a God-fearing Gentile who lived in Caesarea. And so Peter accepted that invitation. And when he arrived, Cornelius said to him in verse 33, "We are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us." And suddenly, Peter understood the meaning of the vision that he had received, and he preached this brief but powerful message that can be summarized with the statement, "Doesn't matter who you are, it only matters who you know." And he told them of the all-encompassing love of God, which is available to everyone, regardless of race or nationality or social status. And he told them that God loves them all the same. Today we're going to look at Peter's sermon and just see how it affects our lives today and our relationship with God. Just three main principles that I want you to notice today. First of all is that God accepts everyone the same. Once saw a bumper sticker on a pickup truck that said, "Texan by the grace of God." That about how, sums up how people in Texas feel about their state and their heritage. They're proud of their home state, and they're proud of the Cowboys, their football team. Texas Stadium, where the Cowboys play, is built almost like a dome, but it does have a huge opening at the top. So the seats in the stadium are under the roof, but the field itself is under the open sky. And Texans say that the reason for that is so that God can watch his favorite team play. Another bumper sticker you might see in the Lone Star State is, "It's hard to be humble when you're from Texas." Well, that's the kind of attitude that many religious Jewish people had during the first century. In the Old Testament, we see how the people of this nation of Israel were designated to be God's chosen people. But some interpreted that to mean that they were God's favorite people, and that God loved them more than other people. And to put it bluntly, they believed that God had no use for Gentiles. Though a Gentile could convert to Judaism, at best he could still only attain a second-class status in their religion. Some religious Jews even went so far to say that you shouldn't give help to a Gentile woman in childbirth because you'd only be bringing another Gentile into the world. It was that kind of racial prejudice that God wanted Peter to overcome. And he wanted to use Peter to tell the world something new. God is not only the God of the Jews, he's the God of all creation. That God loves and accepts us all the same. And so, as he read in verse 34, Peter began to speak. "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and who do what is right." Our famous Declaration of Independence proclaims that all men are created equal. And in theory, that may be true, but I don't know that it's really worked out that way in our society, that all men are really created equal. Some are born with greater opportunities than others. Some are born into better families than others. Some people have more money or more talent or more intelligence or more resources than others. So it's not really accurate to say that we've created a society where all men are created equal. And sadly, the same can be said about the church. Martin Luther King once said that the most segregated hour in America is 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. I hope that's not as true as it was when he said that, but in many situations it really is. And this is a mistake that many churches have made in the past. Today we must strive to show others that God accepts everyone the same, and so must we. There's only one place in this world where true equality actually exists, and that is in a relationship with God. God accepts everyone the same. He doesn't play favorites. He doesn't favor America over other nations. Yes, we are greatly blessed by him, but that's not because we're his favorite. He doesn't prefer any kind of race of people over another. He doesn't favor men over women. He doesn't favor the rich over the poor, even though it might seem that way to some people. It doesn't matter who you are. God loves you just as much as he loves everyone. And that's good news, because the only thing that really matters in life is that relationship with God. And that is something that is equally available to anyone. Anyone can know him. Anyone can talk to him in prayer. Anyone can experience his love. Anyone can be forgiven. Anyone can do his will. Anyone can practice holiness. Anyone can live a life that brings God glory. So in light of all the inequality that does exist in our world, it's good to know that the most important aspect of life, that true equality, exists. It doesn't matter who you are, God accepts everyone the same. But not only that, but God judges everyone the same. The Bible tells us many things about the Lord and about Jesus and our relationship with him. We're told in John 15, 14 that Jesus is our friend. We're told in Romans 8, 29 that he's our brother. We're told in 1 John 2, 1 that he is our advocate. But Peter reminds us here that Jesus is also our judge. In verse 42, it says that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. I don't know about you, but there's no other judge that I would rather have. Think about it. When you stand before the judgment throne to give an account for all that you've done, who do you want to face? Your high school football coach? Your boss? Your mother-in-law? Do you think that they would be able to judge with both fairness and mercy? The Bible teaches us that God is a fair and merciful God, not at all like some human judges. I read a story about a judge in Oklahoma who was preparing to hear a case and announced to the courtroom audience, "Ladies and gentlemen, in the interest of keeping all matters pertaining to this trial above board, I would like to report that I have in my possession two envelopes, one from the defendant containing $750, and one from the plaintiff containing $1,000, which some might call bribes. As an officer of the court, I am required to decide this case purely upon its merits. Therefore, I am returning the extra $250 to the plaintiff. I hope that didn't really happen. Don't think that's a true story. But there is a true story about three American citizens that conspired to smuggle heroin from Thailand to the United States. And all three were caught at different stages of the act, one in Thailand, one in Holland, and one in the United States. The person who was caught in the United States was given a 2-year suspended sentence and was sent to rehab. The one that was caught in Holland spent 2 years in a Dutch prison, and the one who was caught in Thailand was sentenced to death. Same crime, but three different punishments. So the idea of justice differs from nation to nation. And in America, it differs from state to state and even from judge to judge. And we can all argue till we're blue in the face about which judge or which nation is right, but the fact remains that there is tremendous inequity whenever we try to administer justice. Some have argued that the rich have the advantage over the poor, or whites have the advantage over everybody else. But it doesn't work that way with God. Human courts may fail at administering justice at times, but Jesus will never. He judges everyone with the same absolute fairness. There are two main lies that the devil will try to get you to believe about this. The first one is, don't worry about the sin in your life because God will give you special treatment. He loves you. It's all going to be okay. The other one is, there's no point in trying to deal with the sin in your life because God's got it in for you. Doesn't matter what you do. You're done for. If he can't convince you of one of those lies, he'll try the other one. But Jesus will judge you with absolute fairness. Paul said in Romans 2:9 that there will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does good, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For God does not show favoritism. This passage in Romans means two things. First of all, you can't escape consequences just because of who you are. There's no personal privilege that you can invoke that's going to get you off the hook. And on the other side of that, that if anyone in the world can be forgiven, then you can too. God will not deny you what he has offered freely to everyone else. So it doesn't matter who you are. It's not going to work for you or against you because God treats everyone the same. God judges everyone the same. And that leads to the last main point, very simple, very true, that God offers salvation to everyone the same. If you stood before the throne of God today to face judgment based on your own merit, how do you think that you would fare? When you think about the judgment of God, that probably makes you feel pretty uneasy. I know that feeling. No one wants to stand before the judge when they're guilty. And without exception, we are all guilty. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And God judges us impartially. He won't let you off the hook just because you are who you are. But the wonderful news of the gospel is that he will let you off the hook because of who he is. His purpose for sending Jesus into the world was to save us from our sins. And Peter, in his message to these Gentiles, very clearly said it and succinctly. They killed him by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one God anointed as judge of the living and the dead. And then concluding in verse 43, all the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. You will never be able to earn any kind of good standing with God based on your own merit. Nothing that you ever would do or could do could make you worthy enough to even stand in his presence. But Christ died on the cross for you. If you believe in him, you can experience God's forgiveness. You can live in God's presence. And you can be filled with God's power every day of your life. It doesn't matter who you are. It only matters who you know. This is how you begin the Christian life, by believing in Jesus. He accepts you no matter who you are. He will show you mercy no matter who you are. He will forgive your sins no matter who you are. But I want to emphasize this morning that this is also how you live the Christian life. Now, coming to Christ is a matter of God's grace, but continuing in Christ is also a matter of God's grace. When we put our faith in him, we are covered by his mercy. As we learn to live the Christian life from day to day, we're going to make mistakes along the way. But through him, our sins can be forgiven as we continually strive to practice holiness and a life of obedience. For years, the Macintosh sponsored a computer convention called Macworld, where thousands of dealers and distributors and software engineers would attend that event. And one year, one of the scheduled speakers was Steve Jobs, who was actually one of the founders of Apple Computers. And so in order to get into the convention, you had to have a convention badge. Well, Mr. Jobs left his badge at the hotel that day and didn't realize it until he got to the convention center. Well, I thought, no problem, I am Steve Jobs. But unfortunately, the security guard at the door did not recognize him and refused to let him in without his badge. One of Jobs' assistants there offered to let him use his badge, but the security guard heard that and they threatened to have them both arrested, that wouldn't be right. And so after a flurry of frantic calls on their cell phones, the Macintosh people were finally able to locate the security guard's boss, who came to the main entrance. And Steve Jobs knew this man, and he was finally able to be let in to speak at his own convention. Didn't matter that he was the founder of the company. If Steve Jobs had not known the security guard's boss, he would never have even gotten in the door. The same way, it doesn't matter who you are. It only matters who you know. That's good news, because most of us are very painfully aware of our own guilt. Some have tried and tried again to make their way to heaven by doing good and doing right, but all that shows us is that we fail each and every time. You've all heard some of those pearly gate stories where we go to the gates and meet St. Peter and he lets you in or keeps you out. I don't think it works that way, but sometimes there's some good points to those stories. A man dies and goes to heaven, and of course St. Peter meets him at the pearly gates. And St. Peter says, well, here's how it works. You need 100 points to make it into heaven. You tell me all the good things you've done, and I'll give you a certain number of points for each of them, depending on how good it was. And when you reach 100 points, you get in. Okay, the man says, well, I was married to the same woman for 50 years and never cheated on her, not even in my heart. Well, that's wonderful, says St. Peter. That's worth 3 points. 3 points, he says. Well, okay, well, I attended church all my life and I supported its ministry. I tithed every paycheck. Terrific, says St. Peter. That's certainly worth a point. 1 point? Well, how about this? I started a soup kitchen in my city and I worked in a shelter for homeless veterans. Fantastic. That's good for 2 more points. 2 points, the man cries. At this rate, the only way I can ever get into heaven is by the grace of God. Come on in. Because that is the only way. And there is hope for you. Sin's a serious matter, and it must be dealt with in a serious way. But God has already done that for us. God offers you acceptance and mercy and forgiveness. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't even matter what you've done. It only matters who you know. Knowing Jesus, the person of Jesus Christ, makes available to us God's never-ending supply of acceptance and of mercy and forgiveness. If you have not received it, will you receive it today? All you have to do is say, yes, I believe and I accept it. And he'll take it from there. If you'd like to make that decision, we'd like to help you to do that. If you'd like to accept Christ as your own Savior today, would you come forward as we sing in closing hymn? Just come out of your pew, come up to the front, and express your desire to become a Christian. Or perhaps you already are a Christian and you would like to decide to join with us here in membership at Spinning Road. If you have any other kind of spiritual need, you too are welcome to come to the altar and we'll pray with you.